Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hail and well met, wonderful humans. This is the Cinemistress, and I went to my couch to watch a movie. I watched The Empty Man. This is the directorial debut of David Pryor, who had previously done a lot of behind-the-scenes work on David Fincher films, and it shows with this one. This movie has a bit of an interesting history. It was initially made in 2017, and a rough cut of the film, lasting about 2 hours and 15 minutes, tested very poorly with screening audiences. So the studio, 20th Century Fox, recut the film to 90 minutes and tried again. This cut tested even worse, so the studio just put the film on a shelf. Cut to last year, and 20th Century Fox is, like everything else in media today, about to be purchased by Disney. So they pull this off the shelf and dump the longer, rough cut into the theaters, with virtually no marketing, no advanced screening, during a pandemic. Basically, they gave up on this movie and just wanted to get rid of it before being enveloped into the Disney blob. Which is odd, because if you watch this, it seems they have spent quite a bit of money making this film. I couldn't find a budget, but this film looks really good. When I made my way back to the theaters for the first time in forever, The Empty Man was one of the films playing. I chose Synchronic. I took one look at the poster for The Empty Man and figured it was a Slender Man ripoff. Seriously, look at both posters and tell me you wouldn't think the same. Slender Man is a horrible movie. So I passed on this one. Yes, I dismissed this based completely on the poster's font. But let's face it, the poster was terrible. This really is a tale of how a studio can screw a filmmaker and his film. Cut to several months later, and a couple of people whose movie choices I actually respect recommend this film. So I figured, what the hell, I'll give it a try. This film is currently available only on streaming. There has been no official DVD release, as far as I can tell. If you're curious, it's about $5 to rent, or $10 to buy on Amazon Prime. So let's put aside our preconceptions and stare into the depths of The Empty Man. As usual, I will save spoilers until the end of the review, and I will give you fair warning. First, your plot. In 1995, four friends are hiking in the mountains of Bhutan. One of the group, Paul, hears a ringing, and while investigating, falls down a ravine where he finds a rather odd skeleton, which seems to connect to him. His friends get a non-responsive Paul out of the ravine, but they're caught in a snowstorm and take shelter in a nearby abandoned farm. 2 days later, Paul wakes up, whispers something into his girlfriend's ear, and leaves the safety of the shelter. When they find Paul, he's sitting in the snow. His girlfriend, triggered by what Paul has whispered to her, kills the other two hikers and then herself. And that all happens before the title sequence. Fast forward to 2018, where a former police detective, James LaSombra, is asked to investigate the disappearance of a friend's daughter, Amanda. Amanda has recently become very interested in a local legend called the Empty Man, who you can summon if you make a melodic tune, think blowing across the top of a bottle, on a bridge, and think of him while you're doing it. James finds out that Amanda and several of her friends had performed this ritual a couple of days prior to her disappearance. He questions one of the friends and discovers that Amanda is also interested in the Pontifex Institute, a cult that seems fixated on summoning the Empty Man. James attempts to find out more of what the cult is doing while trying to save Amanda. And that is all I will say about the plot. So let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly of this film. First, the good. This was an odd one. This movie was both what I feared it would be and something completely different at the same time. First off, I want to praise the directing. David Pryor did a pretty remarkable job, all things considered. He creates an amazing atmosphere of dread. If I understand correctly, this is the rough cut of the film, the first one. And if that's the case, I'm a bit amazed. There are a couple of scenes where the green screen is obvious, where it looks like the scene hasn't been color corrected. And that makes sense. But for the most part, this film looks great. I loved the skeleton at the beginning of the film. I actually paused the film so I could try and figure out what was attached to what, because that thing was not normal. This film is long, but amazingly, it doesn't feel like it's over 2 hours long. There may be a couple of places where it slows, but not to the point where I was checking my watch. It flows really nicely. The acting here is across the board good, although I would have liked more of Steven Root's cult leader. More on that in a bit. There are a couple of scenes that were truly terrifying to me, in particular the one where James is at a camp for the cult members and finds some very disturbing videos. With the exception of a few plot points and one scene that I have to call out as unacceptable, I actually enjoyed this quite a bit. I will say the ending is ambiguous and somewhat muddled, but not enough for me to dislike the film. I get what David Pryor was going for, I just think this needed a couple of additional scenes and some editing. But let's talk about some of the problems that are not due to the rough cut. And that leads us to the bad. It's tough to talk about this without spoiling things, but I think I can dance around it. While the urban legend aspect wasn't as cringy as I anticipated, it was also unnecessary. This is what I feared the movie would be all about, and was surprised when it kind of veered into new territory with the cult. I didn't need to see the kids on the bridge doing the ceremony, particularly in light of the ending. Even the prologue, which amazingly lasts almost 25 minutes, doesn't quite follow the legend, so the bridge scene seems meaningless. I would have preferred if they had used that time to go more into the cult founding and goals, because while I understand that they take their cues from the Empty Man, I'm not really getting what their plans are for the future, which really ties into the ending. I know that a lot of people will not like it, and I understand that. The ending calls into question a lot of what happens during the movie, but that only made me want to watch the movie again, if only to look closer at what was happening. But it's a bit hazy in what it's trying to get across. I think that actually may have to do more with the fact that the director wasn't given a final cut, and less about the movie itself. I actually would like to see a director's cut of this film. It may clear up a couple of lingering questions concerning the cult itself. As it is, the urban legend stuff seems tacked on and kind of superfluous. There is one scene, however, that really bugged me, and that brings us to the ugly. One of Amanda's friends is killed by the Empty Man early in the film. I don't think that's really a spoiler. Well, she kills herself, but the Empty Man makes her do it. This character is in high school, so she is underage. For some reason, it was decided that she needed to be fully nude to do this scene. This is not okay with me. I realize the actress is over 18, but the character in the film is not. There's absolutely no reason she needed to be naked. None. The location where she dies, a sauna, has nothing to do with how she is killed. This scene could have taken place anywhere with her clothes on. I almost turned the film off at this point because I found it so distasteful. I realize it's an 80s horror movie trope, but don't normalize nudity for underage characters. That's how you get Matt Gaetz. Again, I don't care that the actress is over 18. The character is a high school student. And we aren't talking about a 30-year-old playing a high school student in a Friday the 13th film. This girl looked underage. The nudity was gratuitous, and the movie is less for including this scene. Final thoughts? This isn't a great film, but it is a very interesting one. I like a lot of what is going on here. I would have loved to see what Pryor would have done if he had been allowed to finish this film. If you're looking for a rather adult horror movie with some interesting concepts that makes you think and has some truly frightening moments, this could be for you. I understand this film is getting a bit of a cult following, and I approve of that. I think it's actually worth a watch or two, nude scene notwithstanding. I'm giving The Empty Man 3 hoots on a pan flute. Just keep an eye on that teddy bear. And now, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
Okay, so late in the film we find out that James, the detective, is actually a tulpa, a being literally called into existence by the cult. You see, the Empty Man needs a conduit to talk to his followers, and for 23 years that conduit has been Paul, the guy in the prologue. But Paul is dying, so the cult creates, for lack of a better word, James. They give him a history and a backstory, including a tragedy that instills him with extreme guilt. This apparently will make him a better bridge for the Empty Man, and in the end, James accepts this fate, kills Paul, and becomes the conduit. This makes you question what actually happened during the film. Did James actually talk to Amanda's friends? Did Amanda's friends actually kill themselves? Were all of his dealings with the police department a fabrication? I don't mind these questions not being answered because, like I said, that makes me want to watch the movie again with knowledgeable eyes. But there is still the lingering question of what exactly the cult wants to accomplish with these conduits. That's never really explained. I would like more of an inkling as to what the cult was about. So this is an interesting movie, well done for the most part, with a bit of a muddy ending. This is the Cinemistress signing off, and I'm serious. Keep an eye on that damn teddy bear.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.